7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's the consciousness shift at 8 p.m.
I thought I'd give us a couple of minutes to say howdy to the crowd and play these stupid openings that I've created. Oh, man. Hey, you're right. How did I? It's like I didn't know how to flip the little thing on the iPhone.
Right. Oh, otherwise, geez. Good. Yeah.
Well, I do have a piece of news before we get going tonight. I'd like everybody to realize or to know that daughtersofisis.com is open for business. We've actually had a couple of orders, and I'm very happy and very, very grateful to all the folks out there who have been coming by and taking a look. You get to know everything that's going on when you run a website. You know, who's there, where they're from, the whole thing. It's amazing.
Nice. It looks great, yeah. Gwen. You really did a great job.
What is that 3,000 number? There's over 3,000 hits, 3,400 and some odd. I'm really, really pleased. So
Wow. It's
getting out.
Nice.
So, Linda Starwolf is an author over at Bear & Company, and we're going to be talking about The Spirit of the Wolf, which is her new book coming out this in the next 2 weeks, and it is all about spiritual activism, something you and I know about, right?
mm-hmm.
And this is the lady who basically began major work about 20 years ago with breath work. You ever taken a breath work workshop?
No.
I did with my sister about 20 years ago. And it's really fascinating. It's all about using breath work to do journey work. And it really is a lot of work, but it oxygenates the body. And after you go through this breath work, journeying, and meditation, which is quite a few hours of different exercises, you get up and you draw mandalas of your experience, which is really, it still is, and it was at the time, pretty groundbreaking stuff.
Wow, that sounds really great. Actually, that's a lie. I've done a couple of breathworks, and one was with past life regressions used breathwork, and And that was really, really powerful, using the breath to get to a certain place. And then I did like a love healing or something at the Alignment Center, and that was really cool too, in the room full of people. I've never done that before. That was really cool.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I know that like Asa has done it too. I don't think he's ever officiated at one. I think you do have to be certified somehow to do it, because there's training involved, you know.
People can definitely go into, tap into an emotion or something that they may or may not have known was there, and they need some direction sometimes, or else they can kind of get stuck in there.
You know? Yeah. Well, it was pretty flippy for me when I did it a while back.
I can imagine. Usually that's a good word for it, flippy.
Yeah, that is a good word for it.
Before
our guest calls in, which I think she's going to do any second, if she doesn't, we'll call out to her. I'd like to do a promo for, what do you call it? You know, the guys over at Roundtree.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully I don't screw this one up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring it to your attention. Roundtree 7. That's the number 7.com. Lots of great writers. Lots of knowledge to the social consciousness. That's Roundtree7.com. Out on the net, surf on over, check us out. And they proudly sponsor Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, there's another one of them. I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. Yeah, you know, you got to get a little something here and there going. I don't know how it's sounding over the other end, but
that actually sounded the best. You could really hear everything you said, pretty much, you know. It's good.
Well, I'd like it to be crisper.
Yeah. I don't know how, I wonder if the phones have something to do with that. I don't know.
I think maybe it does. Mm. I think maybe it does. I'm going to actually give a call out to her, because I told her to wait 8 minutes, but I didn't realize how close we were, and she's got to leave because she has a webinar going on. And feel free, Nick, to cover with conversation.
Okay. Let's see. Well, since this is the consciousness shift, I will say that it's definitely been an interesting few days, and hopefully we can talk about that a little bit. I feel like there's been something of a breakthrough in the energy.
Okay. If she picks up.
Yeah. Let's see.
Thank you for calling. We're not in right now. Please leave your name and number very slowly, and we'll call you back just as soon as we can. Thanks.
This is the internet calling.
Actually, yeah. Linda, are you on? Star, are you on with me? Okay.
Message, Gwen. Yeah.
Jeez, boy, I really know how to pull it, don't I? We were actually trying to call into you, I'm speaking with Linda Star Wolf. Star, is that you?
This is me.
There you go. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Nicole Tomasini. Nick, this is Star.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Welcome.
Nice to meet you too.
Well, we're really happy to have you on this evening. And before we came on the air, you and I were on the phone talking about your publishing schedule. Now, this past year, you've had Visionary Shaman out. You've been promoting it, but you're coming out in the next couple of weeks with a brand new book, correct?
Yes, I am. Spirit of the Wolf, Channeling the Transformative Power of Lupine Energy. And it's co-authored by myself and my son, Casey Piscatelli. And it's from Sterling Publishing Company, which is a new publisher for me. I've been publishing since 2006 with Inner Traditions International, and especially through Bear & Company, one of their branches. And I'm still with them because I have a book coming out with them also in February. But I was contacted by Sterling Publishing, and they actually asked me to write this book. So that was an unusual event, actually, in my life. You're usually trying to get somebody to publish your book, but they called and asked me to write it, and my son and I co-authored it. And there's art in the book by a wonderful artist named Antonia Nishav. And so there's, I think there's about 25, I'll have to count them, 25 art pieces with various types of wolves from this artist, and just beautiful, stunning imagery.
Wow,
cool.
It's beautiful.
Do you go into the different spirits of different kinds of wolves in your books?
Yeah, we really talk about different aspects of the wolf, and, you know, I've been connected with the energies of the wolf for a long time. I was a member of the wolf clan with Grandmother Twala Nitch of the Seneca wolf clan, and, of course, Grandma passed in 2007, but there were so many of us that loved Grandma, and they were so connected to the spirit of the wolf, and she's the one who really called me to that path. I think that in my own heart, I'd always been, as she would say, a wolfie, but she's the one who actually called me to that path. And but within this book, which really for me is an honoring of the path of a wolf and what it really means to walk on the path of a wolf or be a part of a wolf clan, what that means, is to really explore the spirit of the wolf. That's what the name of the book is, and channeling that energy in our lives. What does it mean? And so we look at all kinds of aspects about the wolf and what wolf has meant in our culture, what it's meant to indigenous people, not just in Native American, but around the world. There's been wolf clans in Japan, in the Celtic, all kinds of places. And what that has meant and why the wolf has been such a powerful, potent symbol, and the various things about wolf, like the nurturing wolf, the lone wolf, the alpha wolf, you know, the different types of aspects and of the wolf, because you frequently, you know, see like the medicine cards or the animal speaks totems and things like that. But to really take just one totem that is so popular, really, in our culture right now, T-shirts, mugs, people save the wolves, all that, and to see what it is about the wolf that is so appealing on one hand and, quite frankly, so frightening, apparently, and demonized on the other by our society.
Well, in your new book, Spirit of the Wolf, how do you introduce us to the path of the wolf?
We do several things in this book. One of the main things we do is we really talk about the wolf's important role, actually, if you will, in helping to events, civilization itself. And some people can kind of, you know, say, what, the wolf civilization? Aren't wolves and human beings enemies? And it really couldn't be further from the truth. When we talk about that, you frequently hear people say, well, dog is man's best friend. Well, if dog is man's best friend, wolf is humanity's best friend. First off, some people aren't aware of this, but all dogs came from wolves.
Yes.
And through, you know, and some, a lot of people do not know that. But, you know, you can rent films on Netflix now and watch about how, you know, dogs came to be and, you know, the breeding of dogs over the years. And every dog's DNA can be traced back to its predecessor, you know, to its ancient elder, and that is the wolf. And so dogs truly are, you know, men and women's best friends. I mean, you know, we love our cats. I've got a cat. But, you know, dogs really are the ones that people might mainly feel that loyalty that comes from those animals, protection, deep friendship, companionship. And when you trace it back and look at the wolf's history, not just the you know, what we know about wolves, but even what we can begin to explore now, what's new information that's coming through in genetics and looking at DNA and looking at even the hieroglyphics and the drawings, the shamanic cave drawings. Wolves are probably one of the oldest animal connections that human beings have. And in prehistoric times, even as the wolf first emerged, there are cave drawings showing really and depicting images of wolves and human beings connecting with one another. And, of course, the famous cave drawings of where, you know, the shaman or medicine man or medicine woman is dancing and has actually a wolf hide on and is embodying the spirit of the wolf. And it's thought that that's where the ancient wolf clans first began, as human beings and wolves got closer and closer together and became interdependent on one another. For instance, the research shows that what most likely happened is that wolves and humans were fearful of each other at first, but they, you know, deep down inside, both humans and wolves are pack animals. They need to be socially connected, especially in order to survive. And they were hunters, and they hunted together.
And so primitive Homo sapiens, what you're saying is primitive Homo sapiens emulated the wolf's behavior, the pack behavior?
That's right. They believe that in this research that my son actually did, because I'm more the esoteric person who listens to the energy and who, you know, does the shamanic work, and my son, as he calls himself, is a shamanic scientist. And so anything I would bring through, he would go and research it to try and back it up. And he was able to back up everything that came through the work we did together, to my great delight. And I think kind of to his surprise. So he backed up so much of the stuff that I was just knew intrinsically with my connection with the wolf spirit. And I love that. I love that when science and spiritual work come together. There's just a really wonderful marriage when that happens, and then that tends to reach people from both sides of the track and bring them together, if you will, or sides of the fence.
That would be the as above, so below principle.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. You know, as above, so below, as within, so without. And so it was exciting to hear that, you know, the scientists have put together this information, and that what they believe happened is that the animals would go, you know, when the human beings weren't able to track, you know, the game, they were able to follow the wolves, and the wolves used their senses to find what needed to be hunted. And then the primitive man, if you will, or hunters, there were probably some women hunters in there too, they were able to hunt and use what they needed to hunt, and then they would share in the kill. and that over time, because they were doing that, that the they begin to acclimatize to one another and be able to be in the same spaces with one another, and that sooner or later it was bound to happen that there were wolf pups that ended up coming home. Maybe a mother died, or maybe they just took one. And, you know, and that over time they began to breed, interbreed these tamer wolves until they became what's known as dogs today. And part, this is one of the things I really love to hearing, is that by bringing those wolves into their camp, and that they began to be able to feel safer because wolves and packs protect one another. Well, if they are now feeling connected, with, you know, at that time feeling connected
Hello?
To human beings. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Did I lose you?
Yeah. No.
Hello?
I heard everything. You're the only one, I guess. That
Hello?
Can't. Wow, that's weird.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we've lost somebody.
Yeah. Glenn, well.
Shall I continue or?
Yeah, continue. Maybe she'll just hang up and come back through.
Okay. So as the just as I was saying, that just as peace is just that the wolves began to protect the humans. So with that kind of protection and with the ability to hunt and to find food close by, there began to be less of a need to be so nomadic and to stay put. And so there's some thought that the first villages that formed were in part able to be come into being and into existence because of the connection between human beings and wolves.
Wow. That's so interesting. It's like finding your place on Earth through one of the animals of Earth. That's really awesome.
Well, then with the concept of like our elder brothers and sisters, you know, they're wisdom teachers, and they taught us how to be, quite frankly, more civilized and how to create civilization.
Can you all hear me right now?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I had to call back in. I got cut off.
Yeah. You were swimming in the cosmos there.
I was going to ask you, Star. I got cut off when you were speaking about how they brought wolf pups into, you know, groups of humanity there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that you're talking about not just the domestication of wolves into dogs, but the domestication of humanity when we became agricultures.
Well, that's just what I was saying, is that it's thought that what allowed human beings to become more, to be less nomadic and to become agrarian, that they were able to do that because the wolves protected, provided, you know, they probably used them for many things. Use their hides for coats, for clothing, that the wolves protected them,
yeah.
That the wolves hunted with them, and that they were actually a big part of creating this connection to pack and to staying, you know, even though they can migrate in a certain area, but staying instead of going, you know, miles and miles or hundreds of miles, of staying in a pretty close proximity, and that the actual civilization of human beings, the civilizing process, in part happened because of their connection to the wolves.
What do you in your book mention the, you know, first thing that comes to my mind is Anubis and his role in Egyptian culture as the way shower.
I love it that you're bringing that up. And are you bringing that up because you've seen something I've written, or are you just bringing that up out of your own? I'd have to ask that.
Well, I am the daughter of Isis, so
I am so excited that you brought this up. And I'll tell you why. Because in my work with Nikki Scully, who is a wonderful shamanic teacher, and we went to Egypt together, and you know, we did two books together, including the Anubis Oracle Deck and the Shamanic Mysteries of Egypt.
I love that deck.
Yeah, I love the deck too, and you know, it just came through after we came back from Egypt, and Nikki and I did those two books together. And then Ruby Falconer, who's a wonderful astrologer and dear friend and colleague of mine who lives here at Isis Cove Retreat Center where we live, we did a shamanic Egyptian astrology book after that. So that was the third in a series. So I have a very, very deep and close connection to Anubis. And Anubis, in my channeled work with Anubis and working with Nikki and Ruby both, he just came right through, and even though he's the jackal-headed god of Egypt, he just flat out said, I am the original spirit wolf of Egypt. And, you know, Nikki and I discussed this, and, you know, at the time, this was back in 2006, we were looking for research and stuff, and there wasn't anything anywhere at that time that would even substantiate such a claim that Anubis, after all these interpretations by the academic people who've researched and studied Anubis, that would even indicate, even slightly, that he could have possibly have been a wolf instead of a jackal. And yet, it kept coming through that he was really a wolf.
Wow.
So, just recently, in doing some more research, I don't know if you have come across this research yourself, but you can look it up now on the internet. The scientists have made, it came out in 2011, that they went back in and they did DNA samples. And they said that what was known as the Egyptian jackal is really a gray wolf. It is a gray wolf. Well, when I read that, I could not help it. I screamed. I screamed, and my husband was just like, what is it? And I said, oh, my God, Brad, Anubis, he really is a wolf. And they even said in this internet research, they said that it's not Anubis' fault. He didn't mean to be duplicitous and masquerading as a jackal, but that there just hadn't been enough research until just recently. And they went back and they described the dogs. They showed the pictures of them that are the modern-day wolves in Egypt and that are in Africa. And this is the even cooler part, okay, that they believe that all wolves came from that area now and that they were the original wolves. And here in 2006, Anubis had said, I am the original spirit wolf.
Well, you know, my experience has been that, well, when we began so many years ago, my sister and I opened a little shop in Pompano called Daughters of Isis, and we would always call on Anubis to protect the shop for us.
Yes.
And he became a large guide for me. He basically usually... I mean, I have my four directions, you know, around me. But whenever I need to find my spiritual mother, it's Anubis who shows me the way.
Yes. And, you know, the wolf is known, excuse me, as the pathfinder, the
yes.
way shower, the protector,
yes.
you know, the one who... you know, guys, the reason that he's, the wolf is known as the one who's connected to the visionary, it's because the wolf is the pathfinder, the one following the vision and having that deep intuitive sense of where we need to go next and being able to guide us there. So if it's okay with you, I want to read you one little piece that my son said to me, Casey, who is the co-author of this book, Casey Piscatelli. He said, Mom, you know you have to mention Anubis in this book since he told you he was the original wolf. Now, when we wrote this book last year, because, you know, that's how the publishing world works. You write something last year and then it's this year before it comes out. At that time, we didn't have the information that I just told you about. So, again, we're still, you know, out on a limb here as far as the scientific world is concerned. And everything else in this book was substantiated. that was channeled through, except this one piece. But he said, "We know we have." He said, "You know, we have to say this about Anubis." And this is what we wrote. And this is partially a vision of mine and partially a vision of his. And it is a little chapter called Anubis, and it's short. The original wolf spirit totem, and it has a question mark. Could it be that Anubis, the great jackal-headed deity of ancient Egypt, was an early canine shamanic guide to budding humanity, assisting them in their spiritual and human evolution? And my revelatory work with Nikki Scully for Shamanic Mysteries of Egypt and the Anubis Oracle, and with Ruby Falconer with Shamanic Egyptian Astrology, Anubis repeatedly told me that he was the first or original on Earth. I have never fully understood the full meaning of what Anubis was trying to tell me. However, I could sense that his words were packed full of esoteric and multi-layered meanings and mystery school teachings. Perhaps Anubis really was the first canine shaman on Earth who passed on the grand, original, wise spiritual teachings to those around him, and later inspired the first wolf clans that spread to many nations and tribes around the world. The African Dogon tribe referred to the sacredness of the dog star, also known as Sirius, and the dog star has been called Canis Lupus. I've heard more than one Native American teacher and friend refer to the wolf star, saying that there are certain people connected to wolf knowledge and star consciousness who are wisdom carriers of that sacred tradition on Earth. Though many people think of the wolf clan as mainly belonging to or having origins with Native Americans, the wolf clan is universal and has been found around cultures and societies throughout history and through prehistory. And long before writing was developed, pictographs were drawn on cave walls showing shamans draped in wolf skins, dancing and performing sacred rites. And I'm going to skip over here. The image of the wolf with its long snout, sensitive ears, and keen sight and sharp teeth can conjure feelings to the onlooker. I have always seen the wolf as noble, wise, and beautiful, but I know of others who view the wolf with trepidation and a creature to be feared. And we can witness both the admiration and distaste that the public often displays in both the destruction and the protection of wolves. In my Egyptian mystery school work, I felt in some ways overcome by the spirit of Anubis as he worked through me as a constant guide. And I'm going to skip down to the part where the last little piece here that I want to share with you. During the course of writing this book, in one of the downloading conversations with my son, Casey, I suddenly felt Anubis speaking to me again, and this time he reminded me in a passionate way that the spirit of the wolf has been a long-time, constant guide for humanity. He reminded me that his origins are connected to Sirius, the dog-wolf star system, and that we human beings are star seeds. Casey had a vision of a very noble Anubis standing tall, speaking eloquently with two wise-looking wolves listening intently to his every word. I then had the thought that this was the archetypal Anubis, who is known as the opener of the way, instructing our elder four-legged brothers and sisters about how to help humanity to form communities and further our evolution throughout the ages. The image brought tears to my eyes, and I realized that the original wolf spirit came from my beloved guide and friend Anubis, who, like the wolf, has been misunderstood and seen as fearsome. But he is so much more. He is a forerunner to the energy I equate to the Christ energy that is connected to humanity's evolution on all levels. He is the one who teaches us how to shapeshift into higher levels of consciousness and move beyond our limiting lifestyles.
Wow, that resonates. That really resonates. I have to tell you, because this is my end of the bench. Do you know the stories of aconite as wolfsbane and how it how there's gypsy legends of wolfsbane and how it keeps the beast at bay?
I don't. Is that kind of the werewolf energy?
Yes, the werewolf. It's the werewolf. a sickness, if you want to call it that. But these are ancient legends and,
yes,
and myths that we work from fact from, like I know you know, you realize. But wolfsbane, aconite, the plant, as a good practitioner will know, and anybody who's studied deep enough into the stories of the plants and the herbs, wolfsbane used, aconite used by a practitioner, will enable a person to go deeply within and face that which we are most afraid of, the beast within us.
Mm.
And you know, it's our deepest fears once we face them. This is old mystery school stuff, of course, whether
yes,
it's Hellenistic or Egyptian. But basically, facing those fears, that beast within us, as a wolf, which is what the wolfbane legends will call it, this is how we actually go in, and taming the beast is our embrace of our own gifts, because what we're afraid of the most is what, once we embrace and acknowledge within ourselves, becomes our greatest healing tool. And wolfsbane is the major legend in the plant kingdom with that one.
Well, I just love what you're saying. You know, a big part of my work for years, because my background originally was in addictions and therapy and counseling for many, many years, and I'm also a huge fan of Carl Jung, and have, you know, been through psychoanalysis and actually lived with a man for years who taught and wrote books on the shadow. And there's a chapter in my book called Shadow Wolf, Lone Wolf. And you know, that whole chapter is about what happens when you see a lone wolf, because wolves travel in a pack. But what does it mean when you see someone, see a wolf by itself? And some people say it's because the wolf is sick, but sometimes it's because the wolf is having to leave the pack for various reasons, including that there's too many alphas and the wolf needs to go on. And that can happen even in a group where, you know, a teacher won't allow students to come into their power, and where, you know, a person has to move on, or maybe they need to individuate or go and start their own pack or whatever. And working with the shadow, part of the energy of what we teach with our organization, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with my organization, but it's Venus Rising Association for Transformation. We've been around for, this will be our 16th year. We've been teaching and training people for several years to do shamanic breath work. We ordain people as shamanic ministers, and we do a lot of healing work with people. But one of the main things we teach people to do is to work with their shadow and to go into that place you were talking about, the beast, if you will, or the part that we're afraid of, and to discover the gold in the darkness. Like Carl Jung said, you know, that, you know, most of what's in the shadow, if we mine it, is really solid gold.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's sort of Dionysian, too. I mean,
it is.
You know, you end up looking right directly into a mirror, but you pass through so many cobwebbed corridors that you're scared as all get out when you finally do face that face, and then you realize that it's a reflection of yourself. And that's basically what wolfsbane, aconite, that it's not
aconite.
Most poisons are healing tools in the right hands.
Well, I love hearing that. And I remember, you know, from the old, I think, I can't think of his name right now, Boris Karloff, or some of the old gypsy movies, when they would have the you know, the tarot and the gypsy carts, and they would have wolfbane. I'm remembering that now, you know. But I haven't worked with it, but I'm intrigued and would love to know more about that.
Oh yeah, I will post on your I'll post on your Facebook page directly.
Please
into,
do.
My pleasure. So the wolf spirit that you're presenting in the book by your son and yourself, and a real family affair, which is very wolfy. you are. We were also speaking about the activism that people are embracing right now as we stand at this wonderful moment coming to the edge of the new age, as it were. We're also challenged so incredibly right now by the corruption of leadership on the planet. But, you know, for the last year, almost a year now, people are saying, I guess it started with the self-immolation of Muhammad Bouazizi
Yes,
and it spread through Cairo, and it's symbolic face is the Guy Fawkes mask of Anon, people are rebelling, and it's happening sporadically, group after group, over and over again. It's like, you know what it looks like bobbers on the end of a fishing line going down below the surface and then popping back up. I don't know where that comes from, but we were speaking about the role of Wolf in spiritual activism as a part of this publishing that you have coming out in the next couple of weeks. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And as you said that, I'm just, I don't actually have a hard copy yet, but I'm looking on my computer, and I'm looking at the invocation for the visionary wolf. It's just very short, and I'd love to read you this invocation. At the beginning of each chapter, and we talk about whether it's the shadow wolf or the nurturing wolf or the, you know, wolf as healer or visionary, there's an invocation that came through as a prayer that we can use when we want to call forth that particular aspect within ourselves. And so I'd like to just, if I could, invite all those who will hear this and yourself and all of us to call forth this visionary part of us that's really important to bring forth right now, because every single one of us, it may be dormant or it may be very active, but every single one of us has a part of us that's a visionary. We all have that. Anytime, even if we just think about, tonight I think I'll fix this for dinner. We're envisioning what it will taste like, what it will look like, and maybe I'll call some friends over. Then we're envisioning other people enjoying it and a nice evening. We're all visionaries. And so if we're going to envision a better world, if you will, and the changes, we've got to find even greater visionary capacity within us, you know, such as Albert Einstein and Leonardo da Vinci and others, you know. But in addition to that, we've got to call in action. So this is an invocation to the visionary wolf. We call to the bright, shining spirit of the visionary wolf, and we invite you, O Sacred One, into our dreams, into our meditations and our inner journeys, so that we too may see within our mind's eye with the eyes and heart of the wolf. O visionary wolf, if ever there was a time for humanity to cry out for a vision and to learn your messages that would lead humanity forward into a new era, built with the true vision of what will sustain all of life on this Mother Earth, it is now. We open ourselves on all levels, body, mind, and spirit, so that we may receive the gift of your visionary powers. May all our senses, both outer and inner, be activated and attuned in a good way, so that we may pick up the path of the heart, one that will lead us to truth, love, and wisdom for each of our paths and the world around us.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That's really wonderful. So where can we find this book when it comes out? Tell us how to get it.
Well, you can go ahead right now and pre-order it on Amazon.com. And again, you can just put Spirit of the Wolf, or you can even put, put in my name, Linda, three words, Star Wolf. And it will my books will pop up on there, and you can pre-order it. There's two that you can pre-order right now. The other one is the Sacred Medicine of the Worm, Honey, Bee, Butterfly, and Spider.
Oh,
happy
yeah.
for you to purchase either of those books, but they're both up for pre-order right now. The Wolf, if you pre-order, will be out in about, probably be shipped in about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. And the NSTAR Wheel, which is about the sacred medicine of the unexpected creature teachers, so the medicine wheel, comes out from Inner Traditions Bear & Company in February. So you can do that. You can also order directly from Barnes & Noble or from Sterling Publishing or from Inner Traditions with the NSTAR Wheel.
Wonderful. I would just love it if you have the time, if you come back and speak to us about the other book that's coming out in February with the, what did you call them? The
the unexpected teachers of the medicine wheel. And, it's fun with cicada and katydid and cricket and grasshopper and spider and really giving them they're just due and how important they are to humanity, and we wouldn't survive without them and the medicine of that.
And they're very important and vital to be observing and emulating at this time when we're trying to heal Mother Earth.
Recycling, everything, our web, attracting, all those kinds of things, building pollinator gardens. Like we've built them all over our place here. We live in the mountains of western North Carolina. And we've created a retreat center here, which you'll love the name of, Isis Cove Retreat Center.
That's wonderful.
And you'll have to come out. And people come here and teach and bring their retreats and their students here. And we teach students here as well. And we have our own university, Venus Rising University for Shamanic Psycho-Spiritual Studies. And we have a lot of different programs that we do with people. And if people are interested in knowing about our programs or coming to our retreat center or coming and even bringing their own group here, we've kept it on a small scale where you can bring 20 to 30 people. And the website, if you want to contact us, is shamanicbreathwork.org. And we're Venus Rising, so we'd love to hear from people about any of these things. And I hope you will come up and visit us at Isis Cove and teach me a little bit more about Wolfbane.
Oh, I would love to. I lived in Linville, North Carolina, at the base of Father Mountain for a few years. I worked on the Avery Journal up there in Newland, and I know western North Carolina pretty well. It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
We're right next to Cherokee.
I was reading that. I was like, wow, they're in gorgeous territory. I miss the fog crawling up on the deck. But I'm an ocean kid. I'm a Caribbean kid.
I love both. We lived in the Bay Area of San Francisco for a long time, and I spent a lot of time at the ocean, and the only way you could drag me out of there was to take me to the mountains. So I'm not a lowlander. You've got to, I go and teach in the Midwest and the Southwest, but my heart is by the ocean or in the mountains. And where I sit on my deck here and look out, I could look out at the mountains, and the mountains have the mist through them, and they look like we're in Peru, you know. And that is one of the things I wanted to mention, that we're taking a group to Peru December 5th, and we come back on December 15th, and I'm going to be turning 60 while we're there in Peru at Machu Picchu, and we're going to be doing breath work on the sunrise of 12-12-12 at Machu Picchu. If anybody wants to join us, we have a few spaces left.
Wow.
So we got a lot of fun things going on.
That has got to be one of the best statements I've heard all year. Breath work at Machu Picchu. First of all,
I know.
It's like, wow, I have friends who've gone and said they needed oxygen.
Well, I told my husband, I said, I took him for his 50th birthday. Nikki Scully and I took him. But we had a group of about 44 people, and we went to Egypt, and we were in the sacred temples. And for his 50th birthday, we were actually on the Isle of Philae doing breath work, shamanic breath work, which we created, at the temple of Isis on Philae. And I said, top that. And so,
wow.
You know, 10 years later, we're, he's, you know, we're going to, or not quite 10 years later, but, you know, he said, okay, I'm taking you to Peru for your birthday, and you're going to breathe at Machu Picchu. So we're up in the ante every year for these birthdays.
That's absolutely wonderful. Now, and if anybody wants to know any of this or to find out any of the details, they just go to shamanicbreathwork.org.
Yeah, they can do that. And you know, I also I'm really present on Facebook. And if you want to Facebook me at Linda Starwolf, three words, I'll pop up and just say I'm interested in your training program or breathwork or Machu Picchu or your retreat center or the Wolf Book or hi. and you can can catch me on Facebook. You can go to the website, shamanicbreathwork.org, and, you know, you can do that old-fashioned thing, which is email if you would like, and that's starwolf@shamanicbreathwork.org.
That's great. Star, I know that you have to go to a web seminar, and I wanted to remind you because I said
We'd be
very nice and say, you know, you only have to stay until a certain time, and it's about 8 minutes till your webinar. So I want to remind you about that. But I'd like to have you back so that
I'd love to come back.
Speak to us more, especially about your other book that's coming out and more on Wolf, because we just didn't have enough time. We really didn't.
Well, thank you. I love talking with you. I can just feel what sisters you are, you know, sisters. And I can really feel that. And I look forward to talking with you again. And I would be happy and delighted to do that. When I do that, I'll also ask my co-author with that book, a young woman who's an up-and-coming star herself, Anna Carriott Barrett, who contributed so much to that book. And I'll invite her to come on with me so that she can be on, and I know she would love to do that. And we can commune about that a little bit and figure out a good time to do that. And thank you for reminding me about the webinar. We're creating a webinar series that starts a little bit later on in September, and we're doing live webinars, live shamanic breathwork with people all around the country. I did that this summer with the Evolver group out of New York, and we had like 200 people, you know, and we were breeding people all over the world, all at once.
Do you use Skype or do you use Hangouts or what is
It's Cisco Webinex, I think, or webinars. I don't know. I don't set them up. I just show up.
Okay.
But my son is now developing them for our university so that people who are teaching with us can use the system. And I'm the guinea pig, so I'm going to be the first one teaching, and we're signing up people to do breath work. They'll be doing breath work once a month with us, and we'll be, for the first time, breathing people online.
That's
so it's
amazing.
Exciting times.
It is, and I realize that this, you know, the goal is planetary consciousness.
That's
and
right.
Really, we have it right now. It is manifest in what everything we are doing at this very moment.
Yes, it is.
Technology has brought it. Technology just teaches us, you know, what our extra senses are there for in awakening our light bodies and getting them back online.
Well, we can use technology harmfully, or we can use it for what will bring peace to this world. It's our choice. You know, I'll close tonight with that proverb, if you will, that's well known. It's been around for at least 15 or 20 years on the internet of the Indian grandson who's speaking to his grandfather, and he says, you know, grandfather, you know, tell me about the two wolves. And he says, you know, there's the one wolf that's greed and it's fearful, and the other wolf is, you know, concerned with the pack and is noble and has dignity. And the grandson said, well, they're fighting. Which one's going to win? And the grandfather said, whichever one we feed. And this is the truth with the technology and all the things that are harmful on the planet also have the potential to be used for good if we feed the right things with our love, with our visions, with our consciousness, and thinking at least 7 generations forward as to what will this action or this creation cause, what will be the rippling effects from this. When we build a, you know, an oil field in the middle of an ocean, how might that affect 7 generations forward? If we truly thought that through with the visionary wolf, we wouldn't build it out there in the middle of the ocean, and we would be creating, you know, the green economy that we need to be building at this time. So to really follow the path of the wolf, of the spiritual wolf, if you will, or the spirit of the wolf, is to really be a, you know, a spiritual social activist at this time. And that's my prayer, that's my dream.
Builder. What they call a generations builder.
That's right.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for having me on, and I'm very excited about being back with you again, and let's communicate over the Facebook and plan some more times. And if you could maybe let me know how I might be able to hear this interview in the future and share it with others.
I will post it all on your Facebook page in the next 24 hours. No problem whatsoever.
Awesome. Awesome, because we have a lot of folks that like to listen to the interviews, and that will be great. And thank you for being my first Spirit of the Wolf interview. Very exciting to me.
We are very happy. Both Nick and I are very happy to do that. Absolutely. It was a wonderful time. So
please
sorry.
Please send a trip up here to see me.
We'll have to get that done. We'll have
okay.
to get that
done. Okay, and I will be in Florida. I'll be there in February, too. So where are you in relationship to Fort Walton Beach?
I'm in Lake Worth, which is right across the drink from West Palm Beach, or from Palm
uh-huh.
Beach.
Okay.
So, and a little south of it. We're in the South Florida area.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to be traveling around there in February, so maybe I'll see you then, if not before. So thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome, Star. Thank you.
Big wolf howls and wolf hugs to you and everybody out there.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Wow. That was great, Gwen. Wonderful.
Wonderful information. Absolutely beautiful information, especially about Anubis. He doesn't get enough airtime, if you ask me.
Yeah, totally agree.
And we're actually right down to the last moment. I want to remind everybody that the spiritual wolf side of me is on at 6 p.m. for the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, where I get what do they say, all nasty on the bad side of politics, right?
Candies in a bunch.
And next week, will you tell us who will be with us now? Next week is your guest. Please tell us.
Yes. Next week we'll have Maggie Mallett, who is 12 or 13 years old, and she is a young, budding, little Wiccan elementalist and fairy lover. And we'll be talking to her about her experiences as a young one and see how the conversation weaves itself with all our different aspects. I think it'll be really great and informative.
Well, it's of great value to understand where youth's fascination is drawing them, especially within our community. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Very much. Again, thanking Linda Starr Wolf for her time this evening and interview about her book, which is coming out, called The Spirit of the Wolf. And folks, get out there and get yourself a copy. Nick, we're down to the wire. That's all she wrote for this evening.
Nice. Very good. And remember to check out the ILoveNicoleShow.com. 3 episodes and a 4th one coming, and it's all about real talk with interesting people and some funnies in between.
You got it.
That's it for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwen Berry. And we'll see you next week. We'll hear you next week. We'll do that. We'll do all that stuff.
Very good. Great. Thank you, Gwen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.